Okay, folks, welcome to the third episode of the Off Center Arches podcast. And we're having usual, you know, startup technical difficulties with this old laptop. But we got it going here, so now it's recording. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the basics of shooting.
Form issues, whatever. Back up.
Okay.
You're not even going to introduce, like, hey.
Oh, my bad. I'm Anthony.
That's messed up. This is Stephanie. Yeah, I'm included in this. Yes, thank you. Okay, continue.
So you usually lead off, see?
Yeah, continue. Anyway,
but we're going to start off with the basics of stuff since we've been talking more so in the first episodes about who we are. And the second one was like, ooh, we got new stuff for the bows instead of going into the actual basics. So we're going to touch on your foot location, like your posture, anchor point. Well, that's all form. And we're also going to touch on the fact of you have to learn how to shoot in different settings. And I kind of pointed this out today when we were at the range with when me and Steph were at the range today. And basically we shot standing and sitting down because there's a good chance you're going to be in a tree stand if you do go into the hunting aspect. And you're going to either be on the ground, which you can be standing, kneeling, sitting on a log, or you're going to be in a tree stand where you're going to be standing or sitting most likely. So basically, have fun. Mess around.
Yeah, I actually never even thought of that until you actually said something. Because you get a chair. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you seriously that lazy that you're sitting down right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then you
old
bring
ass.
Up,
why are you sitting down, old man?
Geriatrics over here.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, and then you bring up the tree stand and you're thinking like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you could be sitting out there waiting. Or you might have to sit down. That could be, like, your only stance that you have. That could be, you know, the one shot you can get.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like the unexpected. You never know where you're going to be when you're getting that perfect shot.
Well, it's only one shot counts, so you have to learn your effective range, too. But that just comes with practice.
Yeah, but, I mean, once you take that shot and the animal goes, then you're pretty much, you know, that's it.
Yep. Yes, exactly. So, all right. Start with the basics.
Footing would probably be the simplest one to start with.
Yes. My simplest thing that we do is I consider the easiest footing that everyone knows is basically a fighting stance. Where your back leg is straight, you know, your legs are shoulder width apart. Back leg is directly underneath you. Now, where me and Steph both do is the front foot, which is our left foot since we're right-handed, is basically turned at like a 30-degree, 45-degree angle, and it's moved back like an inch or two, depending on how you're comfortable. Easiest way to do this, and this is so simple because it was taught to me when I was 14, put your feet shoulder-width apart. Take basically your toes, when you look down at your feet, move your one foot. You have to like visualize basically your big toe and your foot. Slide your foot back to where the actual base knuckle where it connects to your foot is. And then put your big toe where your pinky toe is. So you actually get your body offset right there.
Oh, you're just basically moving it over.
Right, but if you think about the way you're actually standing, if you do it barefooted on the ground, and you stand there and you put your feet shoulder width apart and you look down at your foot and say, okay, I'm going to take the tip of my toe and put it to where the main joint where my toe and my the ball of my foot are. And then you move your toe back to there. And now you take your big toe and move it to where your pinky toe is.
Oh, so it's just basically you're going to shift it back and then tilt it over.
It's basically back 2 inches and 30 degree, 45 degree angle, whichever you're most comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm just trying to listen to you from like a point of view if I'm just listening to you trying to explain this.
Well, you also already know what a fighting stance is. You've done, you know, karate classes and whatnot. So,
but you could have someone out there listening that has absolutely no clue.
Well, that's why I'm trying to explain it like visual-wise if you're standing there. To make it the simplest way, it's, you know.
And plus, you're not going to be, you know... And, you know, you think of this and you think that everyone's going to kind of know this because if you look up any picture or look up any video and you see someone shooting a bow, they're shooting the same way. They're not actually standing there facing the target.
Right.
So it's almost you already have a starting point of kind of how you're supposed to be standing. So I don't really think footwork is always the biggest issue with people. I think it's something that could get tweaked a little bit, mm-hmm. but not, I don't think that's like one of the major issues.
Well, from the basic stance, that's where you adjust it to yourself. Like some people are always going to notice, like no matter what they do, I'm always pulling right or I'm always pulling left. Mm-hmm. You could take that front leg and move it. You know, if you, let's say you're always shooting to the right. No matter what you do, you have a tendency to pull right. You could take that front leg. If you know you're hitting the 8 ring, but you want to be, you know, 9 and 10 ring.
Who doesn't want to be 9 and 10?
I'm just saying.
I don't know who you're talking
generalizing
about.
Generalizing. Right, is this supposed to be for noobs? Jesus.
Goal is the 10.
Marriage, ball busting, 101. basically, if you know you're shooting, you know, an inch and a half to the right, you technically, where you're standing, 30 feet away, you only have to move that front foot back a half an inch from your normal stance. And next thing you know, you're in the center.
So it's just like tweaking.
Right. There's minor tweaking you can do with your footwork. But that's where it all starts. You have, that's like your body's main anchor
point. It's your
base. Right. Yes, exactly. It's your base. Like from there, you know, it's your posture. Obviously, stand up straight.
Yeah, no slouching.
Yeah, but the people take it the wrong way.
Slouching.
Because some people, you know, yes, no slouching, but people say, all right, you got to stand up straight. They automatically think, I'm standing straight, chest out. No. You just stand straight.
You're
not trying to work out. You're not trying to bench press. Just straight. Like you would normally stand.
Well, you know, normal for some people is just pure crap.
Well, normal people just like slouch majority of the time when they're standing.
You sit at a desk for, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Your posture is 9 out of 10 times going to be like crap. Right. Pure crap.
You know, basically, you can, but that's it though. Stand up straight, get yourself nice and lined up, and from there, it's going to be make sure your shoulder's like in a
Let's just break it down a little bit more simple instead of, because we can't really show anyone at this point. They're just kind of like listening. Mm-hmm. So you're pulling back your bow. So you got the arm that's pulling back. If you are righty, it's going to be your right hand. If you're a left, it'll obviously be your
left
hand. So the arm pulling back is going to... You're giving me like the side eye right now.
Right-handed, your right arm pulls back. Left, well, your left arm pulls
it's
back.
It's just to make it more specific. So you're pulling the arm that's pulling back.
Right.
You do shoulder placement, height of your elbow, and go through. You look lost.
No. I'm trying to think of a good way to word it because... It's hard to explain it to someone that's listening, whereas it's so much easier when you visually show someone where your arm should be. Like the biggest mistakes I always see when people are shooting a bow is one thing is like when the bow is set up, they get the wrong size draw length. Mm. So when you watch their body's not lined up, you should literally be able to take your arms at your chest, put them straight out. Like you're trying to measure your wingspan.
Right.
Slightly tip your arm in the front where you could imagine your palm is going to be even with the front of your chest. So basically if you like lay up, put yourself like your chest against the wall, you're going to notice that when you lean up against the wall, that spot where your palm is, you're going to notice your shoulders kind of tuck back slightly. But I've seen it. I don't know if you have noticed it yet. If someone's draw length is wrong, they'll purposely try to make that draw length work for them, not knowing it's wrong. And so what they'll do is to make it even, they actually take their shoulder and they tuck it back toward their neck. So they constrict that entire trap and rear delt and they tuck the arm back and they pull it towards their neck.
Hmm.
Kind of like what I'm doing now. Like I said, it's kind of hard to describe to someone who's just listening.
That's so weird. I would never...
You should literally be able to make yourself into almost a J if you're using a trigger release. That's where that comes into play too, because your back arm is bent. So you literally look like your front arm and your back arm to the elbow should be a straight line. And then your top arm, your right arm, if you're right-handed, is folded up where your knuckles are basically, where the knuckles at, the knuckle joint at your palm is right next to your cheekbone. So everything should be in a straight line.
From elbow to the tip of your other
hand. From your right elbow, if you're right-handed, to the tip of your left hand.
Okay. Well, that also goes with the setup. It depends on who's setting up your bow, if they're doing it properly, if they actually know what they're doing.
Right, right. But it also can change with trigger releases. Because, like, you've noticed with me, when I use my standard true fire release, mm-hmm. that my wrist strap one, my caliper, it does seem like it to me, but I feel more straight. Like my left arm is a lot more straight out.
Right.
When I'm using my wrist strap.
Okay.
Whereas when I use the forefinger one, I actually have to put a bend in my front elbow because I don't have that strap giving some kind of like small amount of slack on the string. Where you know, the forefinger one is so tight that I feel like my elbow in the back actually has to come higher to compensate for it, that I'm like a little bit more tight.
Now, you just mentioned your front elbow being bent a little bit.
Right.
Now, you don't want that arm straight flat against... You don't want it completely straight either, because your forearm is going to get slapped with the string, which I found out very recently.
I really think everyone should get slapped by the string once. I really do. I think anyone who shoots a bow should get their that freaking right. If you're right-handed, your left forearm. If you're lefty, your right forearm. Whatever. I think that arm needs to get hit, because it will actually teach you. It'll teach you the correct angle, because like your first intention when you're holding a bow is to think, I gotta death grip it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone likes to like, oh, I gotta hold it. You don't realize that super tight grip is actually gonna affect the way you're shooting. You know, you'll get torquing, basically. You know, your handle torque one way, the arrow goes that way, your handle torque the other way, because you're trying to compensate for the last shot you screwed up.
Yeah.
But that's also where your grip comes into play. Your grip, like everything's gonna have its effect on.
It's like a butterfly
effect.
The way
you shoot, yeah. It's like one thing after the other. So if you make sure your feet are in the right spot first, start with your standard, basically fighter stance. Mm. Get yourself properly measured, and have a bow properly fit to you. Don't use your buddy's bow because it's not gonna fire the same for you. Or if you happen, maybe off chance, both of you have like, you know, whatever, 27 and a half inch draw, then yeah, you could try and use his bow.
Yeah, but I can't go and use your bow because...
You'd rip your ear off because the string would be behind your
exactly.
ear.
Exactly.
It's all going to be fundamental. It's so much easier to actually show someone visually what it is. Like if you go to our Facebook page...
Okay, well, this is a podcast that we're talking about. I know, that's what I'm
saying. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see... pictures of me and pictures of Steph and the way we shoot.
I'll make a little photo with arrows and pointing to what we're talking about. So if you actually go on our page, you'll see it. I'll put it up tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Good. That'll work though. Actually, yeah. It'll be more of a visual reference.
Yeah. If you're confused.
But it is. It's just hard to verbally explain. Like even your grip, like I said, your grip coming into play can completely ruin your shot, because if your grip in your front hand is not nice, loose, where your front hand is just supposed to hold the bow, it's not supposed to be gripping it. So, you know, when I personally shoot, my hand's open.
Well, except for your thumb and your pointer.
Well, I put my thumb and my pointer finger together, tip to tip, so the bow doesn't tip down.
Right.
You know, it's that last bit of safety. Even though I do have a wrist sling, it's been my force of habit that I was taught to do. Keep your base of your hand open. Keep your hand in a V shape. This way the bow sits on the, since I'm right-handed, in my left hand on the right side of what would be, you know, everyone knows is their lifeline on their palm. This way the bow sits nice and square in that corner.
And you're more relaxed with your shot. You're not...
Yeah, you're not as tense.
White knuckle.
When you are gripping the bow very hard, your arm will, without you even trying, will automatically begin to move.
Yeah.
Because you know, everyone knows you have like, you know, slow twitch, fast twitch muscles and whatnot. And without you knowing, they'll just start to fire and the bow will start to move because mm-hmm. one side's pulling and the other side's trying to compensate. And
that happened with me actually a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I fixed the grip on my left hand when I'd try to control it way too much.
Yeah, you kept trying to like move the bow as you'd fire.
Yeah, and I would pull. I pulled mostly to the left.
Yes.
I pull mostly to the left.
But you were trying to control the bow with your shoulder and not your actual hand.
Yeah, that is very true.
So.
But I'm slowly fixing that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff, if you try and get yourself into a routine as you're pulling the bow back and rechecking yourself, then you'll slowly get into a routine that it becomes just a natural thing. Mm-hmm. But I know for me personally, when I find, and it's good to go shooting with someone else. So, because you can't look at yourself as you're going through the motion. So you don't really know if maybe your back elbow is maybe down too far, or is it, it's like way up too high. If you're, you know, completely death gripping the front of the bow. If you're not, like, if you're pulling left or right, mm-hmm. you know, when you have someone else there with you to watch you, then they can say, oh, okay, this is what you did on that shot, or this is what you did on that shot, just to kind of give you an outside point of view of what you're doing, so you can go through and try and fix it.
Right.
The only thing I notice now is when I try to concentrate on fixing one thing about my form, I'm focusing so much on that sometimes that I'm losing track of the other things. So it's kind of just becoming like a balancing.
Well, I noticed that today when we were at the range with you.
Well, yeah. So that's another thing with form. If you want to lead into the whole the kisser button and pulling back and looking through your peep sight.
Right. Well, that's one of the biggest things about having the bow set up correctly.
Yeah.
Granted, you were brand new to shooting. So you were just like, oh, yeah, I could see through it.
Yeah. When they ask you to look through the peep sight and see if, you know, everything's lined up, they ask you, you know, can you see everything through? And you just look and like, yeah, of course I can see.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly what they're asking you, but you don't really find that out until you do a couple more rounds of actually shooting.
Right. So what we found with yours was that you were trying to set your anchor point correctly. Your kisser button was in the right spot,
mm-hmm.
but the peep sight itself wasn't. So as you would try to set your anchor with your back hand to line up your shot correctly so you could look through the view, you actually had to lift your right forearm higher, and then the kisser button would actually go above your lip. Where you were no longer able to put your nose on the string, and all you didn't realize, though, is you were trying to look through the peep sight.
Yeah, I would basically tilt my head. I'd draw it back to where I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But then once I started trying to line up my shot, I would try and tilt my head in to compensate for where I was sitting. So in turn, everything, my back arm would move. My face would go against the string, which to me, it didn't seem like a lot, but you know, especially when you have someone there watching you, you know, you're telling me, no, you're pressing against the string. You had a lot of facial pressure
yeah, against the string.
And honestly, I can't feel it as much as it probably is. So I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, no, it's not that bad. But then when, you know, I start really seeing how much everything is going wrong here and there with it's, you know, the whole butterfly effect. You're overcompensating for one, so mm-hmm. it's kind of messing with, you know, another part.
Well, with yours, we're going to have to get some servicing string, and I still have to move your peep sight up slightly. We have it almost to where it's in the right exact spot.
Right.
But you're still a little bit high. Right now, you're just above your lip, whereas before, like, you were probably a half inch above your lip, and right now the top of the kisser button is right sitting on top of your lip. So it still has a little bit of an alignment issue, which we could probably get done by next week.
Right.
We just gotta, like I said, go to the store, get some servicing string, and I can fix that and reline the peep sight up. So this way we'll get the anchor point dead set. It won't move anymore. And then from there, like we had already talked, like we had mentioned it last week, that you have to get the correct size peep sight for your sight to use.
Right. So when I was shooting today, because I know you asked me last week, you didn't know. Was it the correct size? And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, I really don't know because I'm thinking about other things that I'm not really, that's not one of the things I was paying attention to. So today, you know, that's one of the points that I was, you know, making sure that I remembered. And it does line up. The size, you know, it does line up from the peep sight to...
So it's outer ring to outer ring.
Right.
Of what you see.
It was just that the peep sight was not where it was supposed to be.
Right.
So that was kind of messing with...
Well, that's why it was affecting your anchor point.
Right. So now that we moved it up, everything else is starting to line up. It still has to get some more adjusting.
Right.
But, you know, you guys will realize that when you do these other adjustments, when you realize, okay... My peep sight is not where it's supposed to be. It needs to be higher. It needs to be lower. Whichever one. You're starting to realize that the sight. Now, the sight that I put on the bow for last week. We had to sight in. So, I had to put all the markings on it. Because it's the single pin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had to mark on the outside the how many yards each spot was. Now that I moved... I messed with the peep sight and where my anchor point is. I've noticed that, yeah, I have to remark it. So you could sight in a brand new sight that you put on your bow, but if you don't have your peep sight in the right spot, if you're not pulling back on the same anchor point at the same time, if something is off that's always changing, that's not going to be dialed in correctly. So whatever you think it is, if you don't fix that before you actually go out hunting, what's going to happen is that everything is you're doing is going to be incorrect. And when you think you have the shot, it's going to be a bad shot. So you can either hit the animal in a bad spot.
Or miss.
Completely. Or miss completely. Yeah. So, I mean, these are things that you kind of want to get down before you go out. You know.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is also, too, is you have to take into account that sometimes there's other variables with a bow that can come into play, and, you know, over time, strings stretch. Usually the set of strings that come with the bow, even though they're from the manufacturer, are not the best strings in the world. They twist all the time, and that's why you got to use one of those peep sights with the rubber band on it and everything like that. You know, you can always... get some aftermarket strings, but that's going to also, granted, you're going to have to get the bow completely reset up again, right. Which is a good idea to take it to a pro shop. This way they can make sure the cams are in time, the cam lean is correct.
And usually if you find someone you like to set up your bow, if you get someone and you go to the same person every time, that's always a good idea. Because then they start getting familiar with your bow, your setup, how you shoot, what you're doing, what you're looking to do. So... just, you know, a tip of my experience is once you find someone that you like, that you know you're going to be seeing every time you change something on your bow, it's good to go to the same person. Just because they'll be more familiar with your bow. As, you know, the same as if you're, you know, shooting with your bow. You kind of know the ins and outs.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And another good thing to do is... do not try and have a bow set up right before hunting season.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll be waiting for a while, most likely. And you're not going to have enough time to do anything with the bow. You're not going to have enough time to do any sort of adjustments as you need.
You could be rushing.
Right. And that's what you're trying to avoid. You don't want to rush the process.
No.
So if you're going to buy a new bow or a bow to start with and you have intentions on hunting... get the bow early. Try to get it at the beginning of spring because bow season normally starts sometime around September. This way you have a good 6 months. You can make sight changes. You can make arrow rest changes. Whatever. Whatever toy you want to buy for it. Stabilizer. Who cares? But you'll have 6 months to do that. Don't try to do it like, ooh, you know, hunting season starts in 2 weeks. Let me get all this crap now.
Yeah, trying to jump on the bandwagon. As soon as September rolls around and you see everyone, all the hunting stuff come out, and you're like, oh, I want to go out hunting. And try to do that in, you know, under a month's time. Things aren't going to come out very well.
No, not at all.
For anyone.
No, no. And trust me, right now the bow tech that takes care of us is swamped. And he even said it. There's a good chance that there's some guys that they're not going to have their bow ready in time opening day.
They just try to do everything last minute. You know what? It's not good to do anything last minute.
Yeah, shooting a bow is not a good sport or activity of any kind for procrastination. It's something that takes patience.
Oh yeah, it's more of a lifestyle than, you know, than anything else. So it's just gonna become, you know, part of your routine. And I don't think it should be only maybe 2 months of the year that people shoot their bows, because I know that...
No, that's when it's officially... No guns are allowed.
No. That's not exactly what I mean. Some of these guys, and I know we were talking with the one who works on our bow, mm-hmm. that some of these guys don't shoot at all for months. They don't pick up their bow for months. And then when hunting season's coming around, they all of a sudden, they pick up their bow and they shoot... For a month.
The month before bow season, they lose their mind.
Yeah. You know, this is something that I feel personally that it should be, you know, all year round. You need to go to the range every week. You do your tweaking of your bow. You maintain it. If anything goes wrong, you have time to fix it. And, you know, you master those small things. Like, you know, today's big thing was about form. Well, you know, getting your form down, getting your posture down, how you, you know, draw back the bow, and how I'm saying, you know, certain things that we're changing is changing the, you know, the markings that I put on the sight, which changes the yards that I'm, you know, looking through. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're doing that all year round, it's much easier to go into whatever season's coming up. And it's going to be more beneficial for the animal you're shooting at. Because it's going to be a clean kill. It's not going to be some sloppy kill by someone who just picked up their bow because it's been sitting in the closet for how many months out of the year.
Right. Like, when we have our strings and stuff like that replaced, you know, we'll have our bow tech do it just because we don't have a press. But, like, when it comes for ours, I know how to do the servicing for D-loops, mm-hmm. you know, threaded knocks. I know how to redo the servicing line for the peep sight. This way we can get it adjusted perfectly to right where it needs to be. So this way, hopefully, next week your bow should be, anchor point-wise, 100% where we don't have to mess with that. That'll be one thing that's completely eliminated until we buy new strings for it.
Yeah, definitely. So. And then we'll move to the peep sight that doesn't have to be.
When we get the new strings on it, then we're gonna get rid of the peep sights we have now that do require the rubber band because the factory strings are twisting a bit. And we'll go to the ones that are free floating.
Yeah, so they're basically they're in the string. They don't need anything else connected to them. And then when you pull it back, it stays straight. Yes. Is basically what it is, which I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We were just looking at those today.
Yes. Let's see what else. So we mentioned about the alignment,
right,
with a sight. So now we know your peep sight out of the ring the outer ring of your peep sight that you're viewing is the outer ring of your sight. So we know that's not a problem for yours.
That was a big one. That's a big one with me.
Well, it depends on who teaches you. Some people say, okay, put the pin in the center of the peep sight. I don't think that's right. Mm. That's my personal view. That's the way I was taught. It was always your peep sight, what you view as the outside of your peep sight should be the outside of your sight itself because the alignment works.
Right.
You never have to worry about, is the pin in the exact center of of my peep sight's view? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go outer ring to outer ring, you ain't got to worry about it. As long as you keep those rings lined up, you know your shot's going to line up no matter where the pin is at.
Right.
Let's see.
And then I pull, I mean, the whole thing with me pulling left, That is also, I mean, that's, you know, I fixed the grip on my bow.
But yeah, but when you, that's what I was saying before, when I noticed today, when we were working on your peep side issue, right. you started death gripping the bow again.
Yeah, because...
So that's why we need to get the view, your viewpoint
right.
done this way. Okay, now we're going to go back to working on the grip, getting your hand in the right position before you even pull the bow back. Because some people are like, all right, you know, I'm going to pull the bow back, I'm going to center my front hand.
Right.
Shouldn't do that. Your hand, the bow, like when I go to pull back, you've seen me do it. I pull back my bow with my hand open. But the bow is already in the spot on my hand where it needs to be.
Because you've been doing it for like a million years.
I know that, but that's the point. The point is I know since I've been taught that you should be set up before you even pull that arrow back.
Right.
Because trying to hold back a 70-pound pull, granted I do have like a 75% let off. Or 70. Trying to adjust while you're trying to keep that arrow from moving. You don't want the cams to lobe out to rip the arrow out of your hand. So it's just not a good idea. That's why it's always good to have yourself set up in place
right.
beforehand. Like me, when I pull back, my hand's open, my hand's in the right spot. And the only thing I do is when I hit my anchor point, I shift my wrist slightly down. Just for the simple fact that I want my entire palm to be seated on the bow riser. I know for a fact that I have a tendency to almost lean my hand forward as I push. So the only thing that happens is as I get it past the cam lobe, where I'm basically sitting on the back wall of the bow, I rest my hand flat down where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I know. I don't do that right now.
Right. Well, that's going to be like the next step of the process. Right now we found... Your footwork's fine.
Yeah.
Your posture is fine. We know after 10 rounds of you shooting 5 arrows, you're spent.
Yeah, my posture, I noticed that when we go to the range for a while.
Right.
It's usually about 10 rounds. Yeah, when 50, I start 60 getting arrows tired for you. Because I'm not, my endurance with pulling that back is not really up there yet.
Well, that all comes with time.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, can't... I noticed that my posture kind of goes downhill and then my shots kind of go downhill.
Right. They're well, that's the thing, too, is that you even say, like, I'm done. Or, all right, you just shoot this round. I'm not going to because I need to have a break.
You know, that's indefinite just from someone, you know, maybe from me to someone else who's on the same level where your endurance is not up there yet. You know, taking breaks is not a bad thing. You don't have to constantly, you know, you let off 5-6 arrows, you go, retrieve them, come back, do another round. Go, retrieve them, come back, do another. You don't have to do it back to back to back. It does not help you any. It does not prove anything. It doesn't, you got to give yourself time to, like, a little breather, a little break, I should say. Just to, you know, reset, get your mind back right, you know, not to tire yourself out too quickly.
Right.
Because then you can go back and make sure that your posture's right. Because if you just keep letting them off one after the other after the other.
Well, then you're just going to get more frustrated.
Then you get frustrated. Then you get pissed off because your grouping is not there anymore. And then it ends poorly for the day.
Right. Well, that's the thing too. Like, people also have to understand there's days when you go into shoot, like last week, both of us were pretty much on point.
Yeah.
This week, we both had like a bit of a rough week. Granted, I did break another damn arrow today.
I had a little grouping that was.
You had a nice. You had 3 arrows hugging each other pretty tightly.
Yeah, that was one pretty good one.
You know, granted, I normally break arrows at 20 yards. Today, it was a 30-yard grouping that exploded the knock off the back of the arrow.
Yeah, how that happened, I have no idea.
I don't care. It was fun. It didn't destroy the arrow, no. So it was like, all right, just put a new knock in there and go to town.
The knock of the arrow just came right off. I mean, it just flew off. There was
green pieces all over the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't go in every day thinking like, all right, I have to do fantastic today.
I have to do like 100 arrows, and they have to all hit the 9 and 10. And,
if you're doing 100 arrows as a shooter, you're not an average shooter.
Listen, because pros do 100 a day. I'm over-exaggerating to get my point across, so you're completely killing it right now.
That's okay.
But yeah, you know, you don't have to be the hero.
No.
It's not everyone's an expert, you know, shooter who goes to competitions and, you know, wins the gold.
Oh, some of the best hunters in the world miss a freaking good shot.
I know. It's so many variables that come up that you never know. You're never going to hit every shot. But there are some hunters that have not, that have had tags for a season and haven't missed any. So I don't know if that counts as hitting every shot.
No, that's just practice. Mm. That's all it is. I mean, there's some guys, and if you do have this ability, this would be fantastic if you have a yard where you can set this up.
If you have a yard.
Yeah, yeah. Or a place to shoot or whatever.
Where you don't have neighbors that you can hit. Don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No killing the neighbors now.
Yeah, or their dog.
No, but I mean, there's people like these that shoot 10 hours a day. That's it. I mean, they're even like, who was it? I saw a video the other day. I think it was one of the VPs for Bear or something like that.
Yeah.
Every day he goes outside, stone cold, no warming up, nothing, lets off one arrow and leaves it there. I think he does it sometimes. He even said sometimes he does it like to piss himself off, because if it's a bad shot, he just leaves it there to let it linger the whole day.
Oh, and you got to stare at that thing?
That's the idea. He said the idea that he does it for is the sole fact that you're going to be in the woods sometimes for hours. You ain't going to be warming up at a tree stand because you're going to make noise.
Yeah,
sure. So deers ain't going to come by if they hear you. So you're going to be stone cold. So you're going to have to get used to shooting with your muscles cold, because it's just going to take that one shot.
Yeah.
So, which I thought was a very cool theory.
Or if you're hiking through, if you're tracking an animal.
Well, if you're hiking through, you got to, you know, if you're hiking and not stopping, you have a lot of blood flow, so your body tends to stay warmed up. Mm. But I.
That's still weird, though. That is still pretty cool. Well, not weird. I take that back. That is actually pretty cool that he does that.
Well, it's
the bad shots. You're like, oh, let me take this out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't want to have anything to do with that thing.
Right.
It's like when you have
there's
a good
lot
group.
Of things though like that you can do to like increase your skill. I mean, it's stupid. I mean, every time we go to the range, I shoot with two different releases. On purpose.
Oh, God. No, that was just...
Well, you tried it today. I tried to get you to do it. I tried to get you to use my four-finger release.
No, you have to explain the release, okay? You have to explain the releases that I've been using, or the release that I've been using.
The release, yes. And you've been using a True Fire Patriot release.
Okay, which is great. I like the release.
Well, it's also a very narrow strap. And in my opinion, it's meant for... And this is not to sound sexist. But it's meant for a woman's wrist or like a teenage boy. It's smaller. Like my strap is the release I use. I don't even remember the name of it. It's old. But the strap is like 2.5 inches thick.
Well, if you got it when you started shooting, the company's probably out of business
by now. It's
not that old.
No, it's True Fire. You have the same company. Oh. So, but you know, the strap on yours is like 1.5 inches wide. Whereas mine's like 2.5 inches wide.
Oh, from the antique line?
Yes, it's from their
vintage
the leather
period.
Line that now, you know, all my threading is starting to come out of the Velcro and everything now that I've abused this thing for like 12 years. But that one works for you.
Yeah, and I like it.
So.
It works.
So
he had the bright idea of giving me this different release. Would you like to explain how this is?
All right, now the reason I shoot two different releases is I can't remember the guy's name to save my life. I'm horrible with names. But I saw in a video where a very well-known archer spoke about a competition archer who carried 7 different releases in his pouch.
That's just ridiculous.
Now, these releases ranged from index finger style strap releases, thumb releases, back tension releases. I mean, he had several different types, and the idea that he had was that multiple releases makes you an honest shooter, because you learn to basically conquer, you know, that what's going to happen with this one, what's going to happen with that one. And I mean, the dude even psyched himself out that he had a back tension release that was locked. It would never fire.
That is.
That would stress me the hell out.
That is bananas.
You know? Imagine standing there just holding it like, well, it's not firing. It's not firing. It's not firing. I'd throw that damn release into a wall. You know?
I have
what
the shit. It's
yeah,
broken.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you don't know which one you pull. You just lose your mind and just, yeah, it's gone.
But, you know, I have not, you know, and
I think it was too early. I kind of pushed it on you.
He's like, you know, just fire with this one. Just try with this one. And I said, no, I already know myself. I haven't been shooting long enough to be able to do that. I can't.
Peer pressure, folks.
Yeah, it was definitely peer pressure at its finest. And, you know, I'm not at a point where I can just change them on a whim and it's going to go great. So it just went, you know, long story short, it went very poorly. It was horrible.
You got nervous. And you were just like, I have to get rid of this arrow.
Yeah, I just let the arrow go. It didn't even hit the target.
No, it went over the target and I had to pull it out of the wall.
Yeah, it was horrible.
So, but that's what I mean, though. It is what it is. But I will give you one thing.
What?
The next three you shot with your strap were in the white.
as horrible as that sounds,
your next three shots were dead nuts. Yeah, bullseyes.
Because it was so glorious to have my release back.
Exactly. It made you an honest shooter. See? See?
So you're saying I should take one horrible shot with the other release and then
go back sometimes shit leads to a fucking good one, you know? I mean,
oh, no.
You know, and I think that's the reason I do it, too, is because I know for a fact, like I said, there's variables with me, how I feel tighter holding that four-finger release compared to me using my wrist strap. I feel like my shoulders are more bound. And so, you know, I just don't feel like the bow's draw length is right. I can't stretch myself like I can with my wrist strap. So, I mean, usually when I shoot that four-finger release, I do pretty good. I mean, it's not horrible.
I also like the fact that my the strap for my release, I have it tight enough and I pull it back and I don't have to hold anything.
Well, you're not supposed to have to hold it.
Right, that's my point.
Oh.
That's my point right there. I don't have to hold it. All I have to worry about is the trigger.
Right.
And that's it. And, you know, when I'm ready, I just lift it up my finger over and I release. I don't have to worry about anything, like holding anything, like the other release.
Right. Well, that's the idea, too, because some people have a tendency to leave the strap loose, which is what you did in the beginning. And I told you flat out that the strap was too loose. And
well, I was trying to compensate everything else by holding the front of it. With my other fingers.
Yeah. You were holding with three fingers, holding the strap, holding it in place, and then trying to fire. Just too many variables. So
if you're out there using a release that has a strap on it that you put around your wrist, then
it could be a caliper, a lever style, whatever.
You're getting imprints on your other fingers, or they're starting to hurt because you're putting pressure on it. Put the strap a lot tighter, because I did the same thing, and the strap wasn't tight enough. So once you get it tight enough that you can yank on it and you don't have to hold it because it's not like shifting around or moving off your wrist, then that's the better spot for it. Because I was making the same mistake, which I know I'm probably not the only one.
No, probably not. I mean, I've seen a bunch of people do that before.
But the thing is, some people don't listen. Not like, I'm not saying they were experts, we know, but they don't listen to someone who's already messed up with it the first time. Like, some people just have to learn the hard way. I always have to learn the hard way. Yes. So, yeah, you know. If I tell someone this is how I screwed up, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. And they could be doing the same thing, and that little bit of advice or opinion could help them out. So, I mean, you know, that's I can save your fingers right there, because I was getting blisters.
Yes, you were.
Which was a little ridiculous, but.
Yep. Well, at first I thought, I was like, damn, when I first noticed like your hand coloring and, you know, the fact that the palm side of your fingers were getting discolored, I'm like, all right, maybe you need a larger release. We just bought yours on a whim, because it was like, okay, we got the bow and.
But I mean, I'm so white, I'm like clear. So any kind of pressure in my hands, you know, makes it red.
We've been together for 15 years. I know when something's wrong. So, but it ended up just being the strap was too damn loose.
Yeah.
And once we got that, okay, now the strap stays in the same spot. Your hand can be open. You know, you do the whole Cam Haynes thumb behind the neck thing.
And after, you know, because I really like
which I do.
You know, we mention him a lot because I really like listening to him talk.
Cam is the man.
Yeah, and really, really.
What? He is. He is, man. I'm sorry.
Yellow crush.
You could, you call it a dude crush. I don't care.
Oh, my.
It is what it is, man.
Anyway,
when you think you're tough, Cam Haynes will make you look like a bitch.
Yeah, he...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he
just did the Bigfoot 200.
If you don't, if you don't know,
200 meters, it's 200 miles nonstop of running.
That's insanity right there. But if you don't know who he is, look him up. Like, yes, he's really good hunter.
And we are going to be doing a whole episode of like our favorite YouTubers.
Yeah, you'll. We're going to be doing a little extra episode about YouTube and who to follow. What the actual experts of when you want like solid expert advice, and whereas we're just giving your opinion of the same level point of view, but if you want to listen to someone who has the expert point of view, right, of the textbook everything way to do things, that's kind of what we're going to be hinting and doing next, our next episode that we post.
Well, that's why we're trying. Don't give away just yet. No, we're trying to keep this podcast where it's generated towards the new person.
Yeah.
You know, some people are like, I've been shooting for years. This is what's wrong. If you've been shooting that long, you're not going to take someone who's trying to generate a podcast for new shooters. In most cases, some people are not going to take you seriously.
Yeah.
That's why you have to like, all right, if you've been shooting for 10 years and you still have this problem, our next episode is going to be like, all right, this is the guy we recommend you follow because this dude's the man, you know?
But yeah, he is, he's definitely, definitely one of the ones to follow.
Oh yeah. So, all right. So we touched on the foot location, which is basically your standard fighter stance.
Yeah.
Posture, stand up straight. Your arms should be pretty much in a straight line. Back elbow should be kinked where it goes towards your ear. And not sideways, because I've had to correct another person with that, where they were using a trigger release, and basically if they were standing with their palms straight out flat, they were bending their elbow to where their palm would touch their shoulder instead of their palm being going like if it was going to touch the back of their head instead. Mm. Their arm was basically just in the wrong position. And that makes a world of a difference on a shot, because you're pulling with your back. Whereas if your arm is folded forward-wise, as if you were going to touch your shoulder or your chest, you're pulling with your bicep. So it's a much larger muscle group for control.
Yeah, and honestly, when you have proper form, like when I'm, my right arm, since I'm righty, at the end, when I start getting exhausted, that is not the arm that is exhausted. I can pull all day, and that arm does not feel sore. It does not feel weaker, because when you're using something, you know, over and over again, you start to kind of feel like you're basically weaker. It's my left arm that holds the bow that, you know, starts getting exhausted. Well, a lot of
that has to do with that grip.
Right. But that goes back to exactly what you said. When your posture's off, and your form is off on one aspect of how you shoot, that's going to be probably where what your exhaustion is going to come in sooner,
right,
compared to your other areas. I'm not saying that you're never going to feel it. Once your, you know, form is correct, you're never going to get exhausted. But you're going to start to feel it where it's lacking compared to the spots that are, you know, spot on.
All right. Good tip, too, that I can give people when you're at a range. You want to figure out an easy way to know when you're done shooting for the day, when you have to lift the bow above your shoulder to pull the arrow back.
Yeah.
When you have to actually lean back to pull that bow back, you're not just pulling with your upper back anymore. Now you're getting, you know, you're to talk muscle terms, whatever. But you're having to pull with your lat, your bicep, everything. Your entire, like, right side of your body is basically pulling the arrows. Now, what you don't realize is, like, even though you think, all right, I got the bow back, I can take the shot, you think you're standing up straight. You're not. Because if you actually were to pay attention, you're going to notice all, you know, for a person who's right-handed like ourselves here, all your weight's going to be on your right leg. You're going to have no weight on your left leg. So you're going to be off balance one for the shot.
Yeah.
So your posture is going to be screwed up because you're leaning backwards. You're not in the correct position to make the shot. So know when to stop.
Yeah.
And also, too, like, if you're out of the gate having to lift, your arm up in order to pull the bow back, guess what? You're pulling too much weight.
Yeah, if you're pointing that thing to the sky and to try and pull, yank it back, then you might want to back up the weight a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know...
Get your ego and leave it outside because...
It doesn't prove anything.
But you got to be safe. No matter what. You are shooting... You're shooting a rocket-propelled spear, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you're shooting with your significant other that might have a life insurance policy that's wonderful, you know,
you know. Almost lost my beer on my laptop. That was great.
you know what? You really, you don't want to go there.
No, no.
You go to jail.
Well, most rangers have cameras. The cop will be sitting there like, Jesus Christ, did you see what this retard did?
But no, honestly, you just want to gradually move up. You know, if you're struggling with that higher weight, you're not going to be able to focus on anything else. You're just going to be trying to struggle to pull that back and then try to let it go. And then you're not going to be hitting the bullseye. You're not going to be hitting where you want to hit. And you're just going to get frustrated. And, you know, it's not really going to help you out any. So just gradually, you know what? Even if you pull back a weight and you're like, yeah, I got it back, but... You can't pull it back multiple times, then just back it off, get used to the other weight right below it, and then move back up. I mean, it just so happened that when we moved mine up, that I was fine with it. I mean, it took that for that one day of really getting used to it, but after that, like now, I'm really fine with it because I'm still focusing on the rest of my form. Mm-hmm. I'm not struggling to pull back. I mean,
well, now you're definitely comfortable right now shooting 52 pounds.
Yeah, and
I mean, you are.
I mean, you honestly, you know, it takes me about a good hour of us 45 minutes to an hour is mm-hmm. when I start to get exhausted, and that's when everything really starts going downhill for me.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, you know, it's just. The weight, you know, I know you get to tell whoever else, like, yeah, I'm shooting at, you know, 60 pounds. Or, but that's not, it's not going to help anything if you can't hit the target where you want to hit.
Right, yeah, please.
If you're completely missing the point, then it doesn't matter what you're pulling it back at.
Well, people always think I'm nuts. Like, I can't believe you waste your time shooting 70. Okay.
Well, you've been shooting for how many years?
I've been shooting for how many years, but I also don't want to have to say, okay, right now the bow's at 60 pounds, I'm going to go deer hunting. In a couple of months, turkeys are going to come out, I got to drop it if I want to, which I would never do. You know, drop it to 50 pounds. Now I got to resight the whole damn bow in. And, oh, it's that time of season, we're going to go black bear hunting. Oh, now I got to turn it up to 70. No, I'll just leave it at 70 and just let them rip. And if I break arrows, I break arrows.
Yeah, but if you keep it at that, then...
I'm comfortable shooting at 70.
Yeah.
You know, granted, like, the next bow I want is pretty much, like, one of two
You already bows. You already have a shopping list for bows.
That oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I know. Exactly. Well, no, like, because we all... You have plans more so even than me of, I want to go, like, big game, you know.
Yeah.
You like dove into this hard. Like I took a shooting once, and you're like, I want to shoot an elk.
I mean, yeah, I think on our first thing, I was like, I want to.
You want to go in the woods and shoot Bambi first?
No, we don't shoot Bambi.
Yes, we do.
We don't.
He's tasty.
Fawn?
No. His dad.
That's Bambi.
Whatever. His dad.
His dad.
Hey, Bambi eventually grows up to be a buck.
Listen, get it right. We got PETA listeners.
No, we don't. I'm sure they left by now.
They already went running the other way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And no, I'm not worried about them.
Yeah. No, we don't.
They're also the... No,
I'm not. You don't shoot Bambi.
I'm not going to get into that topic.
Bambi has to grow up to be, you know,
no, bigger. Actually, well, I also... Well, I pay attention to what's going on with the animal. Like me personally, I don't see any point in shooting a deer that's under an 8 point, really, because they're not mature. You know, you can get a decently mature, like 4, 5-year-old deer, maybe he's a 6, heavy 7, maybe.
But you want them to have, you know, lived a...
Oh, I want them to, trust me, if there's a deer in the woods and, what the hell do they call it? Wildlife management, I think is now the new term, where the deer's, like, horns are, like, mangled because something's wrong in its skull, they're not forming correctly, whatever. There's properties where, like, you need to kill him, you know. Here's a free tag. Go shoot that deer because we don't want that deer's genetics getting passed along because there's a good chance that whichever doe he impregnates, all of those bucks are going to come out with that same retarded-ass horn.
Well, that's not really the point I was trying to make.
No, I know.
You just really took that to a whole different level. Like, we got to the fork in the road.
My bad.
And you, like, dug a hole underneath both damn ways to go. I don't know what you just did there. But, I mean, we just kind of went off topic with that one.
Yeah.
That's really, like, another episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so we're going to back up right there.
All right, so what topic now?
That's pretty much it. You know, it's a form is, it's a short one, but it's an important one. You know, we're going to post up pictures. I'm going to make it a point to things that we were talking about. So if you look online, you can kind of better understand. We're going to throw in an extra episode of, you know, YouTube videos. And YouTube videos are good because they can be short and to the point. Or they can be longer if you want. But, you know, you don't always have to sit down and watch these hour-long videos or documentaries or whatever else to learn about, you know, proper form is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go through. We're going to give you a list of the videos that we watch, that we enjoy watching, that it's not sitting there and you want to, like, fall asleep because it's just so unbelievably boring that you just can't watch anymore. So we're going to throw that in there to help you guys increase your references of where you can go to get more advice, to see what we're talking about, because you'll actually, you know, visualize and see everything you're supposed to be doing, whereas, you know, right now you're just kind of listening. So you're only kind of getting half of the picture right now. And then we'll get into more of the hunting, the actual hunting later on in the maturity of the podcast, I should say.
Yeah, that's going to be a little wild down the road.
Yeah, when we, you know, we have plans to actually, when we go out hunting, to actually eventually start videotaping it. But that is future. That is future, hopefully. But for now.
But that's also like we'll end up like sharing like the research we find. What's a good spotting scope? What's a good range finder? You know, especially if for bow shooters, a range finder that's gonna have angle correction for someone who's on a tree stand, someone who's on the ground, someone who's shooting uphill, whatever situation you could be in, where it'll correctly adjust the yardage for the angle compensation.
Right. That's a whole nother.
There'll be a lot more stuff to follow. We have some new arrow rests coming in that we want to test out that are dropaways that we'll be mentioning soon.
Yep. So we have, yeah, you have your dropaway rest that's coming in. Yes. That we will be talking about as soon as we get it in. I'll post the pictures as soon as we get it in. You know, it's going to be going on Anthony's bow.
And depending on which one, if I get the second one, then this, the one that the first one that's coming in will be going on yours, and then right, the second one will be going on mine.
But I will
mine.
Post the pictures, so you can either look on our Facebook page or Instagram. Hopefully this weekend I will get a website up also, and then I'll post the actual website name that you can go to see these pictures. We're going to try and post as much as we can to kind of go with everything that we're talking about so you guys can get a visual basically to help. And it's the rest, and I think we're getting stabilizers too that you're looking at.
Yeah, well, what I want to do is I want to try and get a longer one for my bow,
right,
and then switch the one that I have on my bow to yours,
right?
Or we have a lot of plans to test out a lot of stuff to come into play, because right now it looks like, you know, we're true glowing the living crap out of the bows at the moment.
Yeah, I know. You would think we're promoted.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by no one. This is right now everything we're doing is out of pocket.
Yeah.
So this is our expense. That's why we're saying we're not afraid to say, oh yeah, by the way, you know, we mentioned it in the last one. I got that sight for $31 shipped on eBay. I'm not afraid to say it because guess what? We ain't sponsored. So
No, but if you're listening and you want to sponsor us, you know, it's feel free.
But we will we'll be also trying, you know, stabilizers from Trophy Ridge.
Yeah.
I looked into some
stabilizers. Don't we have Trophy Ridge right now?
You have a Dart on yours.
Okay.
I have the True Glow. The hell do I have? The True Glow True Tech Carbon.
Okay.
On mine.
Okay.
Which is nice. It's a good, I mean, it's been working for me very well. But I would like a longer one, a little bit more heavy. Because mm-hmm. my bow is a bit heavier than yours. Your bow, I mean, is like a featherweight.
Yeah,
Nice. I think mine would make a huge... Well, actually, we already tried mine on yours, and it made a difference with you shooting. So we're going to try and see how you do with that full-time.
Right.
Once we get your sight situation. Like, realistically, even if we get the two rests that come into play here, I don't want to install the one on yours until we have your peep sight completely corrected.
Right.
And
I think with correcting that, I think it's going to take a little bit longer for me to correctly sight in the sight that I have on now and get everything.
Really. Right. I think, I mean, if we get the peep sight aligned where your anchor point is supposed to be, because we could do that here in the house.
Right.
Once we get your peep sight aligned, it's going to take you, what, an hour to get 10 and 20 yards completely hammered down? Your center point's already on. We already know that.
Well, 10 yards is really easy, too.
It's not that. We're not going to have to... You're only going to have to adjust your verticals. Because right now, even with us moving your peep sight,
right,
you were dead center. Either high or low. You were on the money, sure. Center-wise. So we only have to redo your vertical adjustment on the sight itself for your distance shots.
Right.
So we don't have much that we have to really, really do in order to correct yours once everything's into play. So I think it would be like, okay, this week we'll go out and we'll get some more of that neon green servicing string because your bow is black and greened out.
Yeah.
We'll make sure we lock the peep sight into the correct place. And next weekend when we go to shoot again, right, or if we go this weekend, maybe we can go pick up some tomorrow since we do have our nice 3-day weekend off of work.
Yeah.
You know, we'll make sure that's good. Okay, you know, every time you pull it back while we're here, I'll make sure your kisser button is in the right spot. And by the way, if you do have a kisser button on your bow, don't pay attention to the dumbasses who call it a cheater. It's there for a reason. You're a noob. You're supposed to be new. Use it to your advantage. Because eventually, a year, 2 years from now, when that thing falls off your bow, you're not going to know it's gone. But your anchor point will still be in the same exact spot it was, even if it was there or not.
Oh, no, I'll know it's gone.
You barely feel it now. You're full of crap.
It's lime green.
Oh, ooh. It's green. I know. I'll get you some of those green jumping jack silencer things for the strings.
Anyway, folks, I think this is about time to wrap it up.
Yes.
So, again, look at our site for pictures I'll be posting.
Yes, our Facebook. We have on Instagram.
Yep. So follow us.
And both of them are offcenteredarchers.com. Why do I keep adding a D?
I don't know.
Whatever. It's Off Center Archers on Facebook. Also the same thing on Instagram.
Follow us. Tell your friends.
Yeah, follow
us. Have them tell their friends. And if you have no friends, just get online and tell other people. Oh, play Jesus. World of Warcraft and maybe tell you.
Oh, yeah. Bro, this podcasting made me want to use an elf and wow.
Really what?
I don't know. Characters. Yeah, an elf. Don't the elves in WoW, or is that just Lord of the Rings?
I have no idea. Bows? Now we're just getting completely lost. So we're going to end it now. Thank you for listening again. This is Stephanie.
And I'm Anthony.
And you have a good day, night, evening.
Yo, man. We're out.